There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Again.
On our own.
Yeah.
Like a twister, I was born to walk alone.
Right. Yeah. Feels like that on most episodes.
I don't know the rest of the song.
No, neither do I, but that's the best part.
Something about California girls or something. Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's good. Don't guess. Never guess.
Because it makes a... Wait, how's that go? Hello and welcome to episode 265 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver, BC, Canada.
As always, I put this to you, Adam. What's going on, Adam? Super Bowl, not this weekend.
No, I got nothing. Oh, the NHL All-Star game this weekend, which I never watch.
No, because it's boring, except for a tough guy's in it this year.
Yeah.
Tough guy who's not in the league is in the game.
But, it is a 3-on-3 format this year, so there'll be 800 goals scored in the games.
Versus the 650.
Yeah.
That is normal. Yeah.
Yeah, not a lot of defense and not a lot of checking in the All-Star game for the NHL.
You know what
and
I
a bunch of the top players got pulled out or pulled out last minute, so that's
really?
That's great. Yeah, Jonathan Toews, Alexander Ovechkin, they pulled the chute like a couple of days or a day before, so that's
to
great.
To avoid injury or what?
I guess so, yeah. But the NHL, I just got to figure something out about that. Did you see the Calgary Flame that cross-checked the ref from behind?
I did not.
Oh, that's the big NHL news. Just happened the other night.
I'll have to check it out. The ref or the linesman?
Oh, sorry, the linesman, yeah.
No, I have no idea. I'm not correcting you. It's just
that No, it was the linesman, but not that that really? Matters. But yeah, it was the linesman.
What was the linesman's name, do you know?
No, I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, but it was pretty vicious, and I'm not exactly sure what they're going to do about it, but he's right now suspended indefinitely.
I would assume that you're looking at a minimum. It has to be a year.
I don't know even what you do. You have to watch.
No, because the referees will not come back.
Well, that's what I mean. They're going to have to. It's going to have to be pretty harsh. The problem is it's the guy who did it isn't a guy that would ever normally do something like this, and he gets drilled in the corner pretty good before this happens, and he kind of looks like maybe there's a concussion involved. Like, he's skating off, his head's down, and he's kind of looks pretty groggy from the hit that he just took from behind.
Okay.
And I think he's probably pretty pissed that there was no penalty on the call. And so he's kind of skating back to the bench, and it just so happens that the linesman is backing up. So the linesman never sees him and is basically backing up right in his path right as he gets to the bench. And I think he picks his head up and just sort of sees that, hey, there's this guy in front of me. I don't know that it doesn't look like it's premeditated. He didn't go after a referee, but the ref's right there. He brings a stick up and just drills him right in front of his bench. Like, it's outrageous. I've never seen anything like that. And so, yeah, it's one of these things that I think now the NHL's gone to its All-Star break, there's probably a lot of meetings and conversations as to what they do with this. It's a veteran defenseman from Calgary, Dennis Wiedemann.
Dennis Wiedemann.
Yeah, who is not known
for
any of this stuff. Yeah,
I just watched it. I was just watching it while you were talking.
Yeah.
That is not a thing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That happened when I used to referee. I grew up refereeing ice hockey.
Yeah.
With some guys who actually referee in the NHL right now. And you know them.
Yeah.
Or him, anyways, one of them. But my dad used to also referee. And so I remember we were reffing a game of like 13-year-old kids. I was probably like 15, and my dad was older than that. However old it makes him, 40
okay.
maybe. But imagine this. He calls a penalty on this kid, his 13-year-old kid, for whatever. It's just a minor for roughing or something like that. The kid skates by him, hauls off, and punches my dad in the stomach.
Oh, wow.
At 13.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
That's not what we call good parenting. Somebody failed. Somebody failed on that one.
Yeah.
Like, wow. There you go, kid. Yeah. The kid, and then so my dad gave him the penalty, which is, it's a match penalty, which means you, normally 6 games plus, right?
Okay.
Automatic. Yeah, he got 0-game suspension.
Oh, goodness.
And the league official said, well, you know, he's young. We don't want to ruin his career.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
All right, then. I'll head back out there and earn my $4 reffing this game again.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Oh dear.
Weird.
But, yeah, so I think that, you know, it's going to be a big suspension. They have to pretty much set a precedent here that, you know, this can't be tolerated. So
right.
I don't know what they'll do half a, like the rest of the season. Like that would be unprecedented if they, and he probably makes, I'm going to ballpark it at about, you know, $3 to $4 million. So half the season there's, you know, $2 million essentially in fine if you do that. But I don't think they'll go that harsh. I think maybe 20 games, something like that. I would think you could make a case for an assault charge though. Because there's no way you could argue that.
Oh, yeah, this will happen. They'll settle it out of court, of course. But again, I just saw the 16-second clip just now, and I'm going to go ahead and make all these assumptions. I'm going to make the call right now, but that will be settled out of court because not just an assault charge, but there will be the. Did it happen in Calgary?
I'm not sure, actually, to be honest. I watched the same clip you did when I saw it, so I can't remember if it's in Calgary or not. But the other thing is, the NHL has a concussion protocol. So Dennis Weidman never went back to the locker room or did any of the concussion protocol stuff. So it'd be pretty tough for them to argue that, you know, he really was concussed, because that's about the only argument you can make, is that he was groggy, he was completely out of it, and he didn't know what he was doing, except for then the team and the doctors and everyone took completely screwed up because he never went off or through the concussion protocol after. So that,
why would the lawyer for the team not do that? The lawyer should say,
well, that's what I thought. I'm like, hey, you just did that. How about we just put you through the concussion protocol right now?
Yeah. Please throw up for us.
Even if you do, yeah, exactly. Even if you don't feel concussed, something's not right with this. So
here, chug this whiskey, okay?
Yeah.
There's something has to be on. You're gonna have to test positive for something.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So none of that was done, and so interesting. Anyways, that happened.
Well, interesting to you and me, but not to camera enthusiasts.
Yeah. The other thing is the last thing I'll say about it is the other thing that is different than some, you know, really bad hits in the past is that the referee wasn't actually hurt. He finished the game. He got back up. So so that might save Weidman a few million dollars too, in that if he was hurt, if the ref was actually really hurt, had to leave the game, more claim of pain and suffering and blah, blah, blah. But he apparently was okay and kept reffing the game.
But
so.
See, if he is upset that there's no call, that's not a linesman making that call.
No, exactly. Another, but again, he just, it looks like in the clip, he just sees stripes. He lashes out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good times. All right. Yeah. 30 more minutes.
Yeah. this is the most interesting our podcast has been in about 6 months.
I think so. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Weidman. I'm just handed a note. We're going to have him on the show next week.
Okay.
And he's going to explain himself.
You got handed a note by Sam.
Yeah.
It's actually a scribbly line. That
Yes. Yes, it is.
And a dab of ink.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And not so much in a note of paper. It's just written on the wall in my office. Yay.
Kind of looks like Weidman.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks a lot, kid. Yeah, I don't. Even if he were to come on the show, which he's not, I don't think he'd speak about it. I think the lawyers might step in then.
But maybe he likes cameras.
Oh yeah, maybe. No, we will definitely talk about his film camera collection. He's a big fan of the rangefinders. Little known fact about Dennis Weidman. Ironically, he shoots all telephoto though. Amazon.
Yeah.
I bought nothing on Amazon this week.
Get your Dennis Weidman rookie cards. They're going to go up in value here.
Yeah, they're going to skyrocket just now. Yeah. You know what I did finally get around to doing? You have the Amazon Prime, right?
Yes.
Did you ever watch the Amazon Prime video?
It doesn't exist in Canada.
It does? Wait,
no,
what?
It doesn't. It doesn't. There's no Amazon Prime Video.
No streaming video, really?
No, there's no streaming video. It doesn't. Don't have it for Canada.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a bummer.
That is a bummer.
As far as I know, I've Googled it. I've looked for it. It doesn't exist.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry.
If someone else has been able to figure out or access this, let me know. But I've Googled it, and every Google answer is it doesn't exist. So I'm guessing based on the fact that I can't find it on their website and my Googling has turned up nothing, I'm going to suggest that's fact. Unless something's changed in the last month or so.
No, I know they don't have an app for it, but...
No, they got nothing. They got no video whatsoever, so...
You're relatively sour. See, I've been using it because I wasn't using it. We have it in Germany. You know, and a lot of stuff's in German, a lot of stuff's in English, but as well. But I loaded up the app, which I had to do a little dance for to get the app to load, and then plays on the iPad, stream it onto the Apple TV, which is turning into an ad for Apple, but it's not. And it works great. So I was going to say, if you don't have Amazon Prime, you should think about it because it's got a pretty fantastic selection.
Now except don't get it thinking you're going to be able to use it in Canada.
No, in Canada, don't bother. I mean, I'm assuming you already have Degrassi Junior High taped anyway.
Yes.
What else do you need it for?
I got a lot of, what are those called? The VCR cassettes.
Yeah, VHS.
VHS, yeah.
Yeah, we had them on beta, so you can't even borrow my old ones. You want to know something?
Sure.
I'm a professional model.
Really?
True story. I made my debut.
Someone paid you to take your photo?
I was paid actual currency to be a model.
How did that happen?
I'm still not sure. It is.
Someone pay you like $11, or did someone pay you like real money, like real like the equivalent you would get for being the photographer? Did you get that as the model?
Ooh, depends on an hourly rate. Oh yes.
Really?
But I was in and out. No one got hurt.
Okay, tell us how much you got.
No,
for
it's not very much money. It was very, very little money, but it was totally worth it. Like it was a friend of my wife's worked for some I should probably know because I got a job out of it, but I never pay attention when my wife talks, so I still don't know all the names of all her friends.
Yeah.
That's a true story. And so one of her friends, I do know her name. But she works for like an ad company, and they were doing a shoot for some company that makes light controllers or something like that. I don't know, something to do with lights, like
okay,
not photography lights, but just in life lights, like your lighting in your house and stuff like that.
Okay,
all right,
I'm with you.
So, anyways, they had a short notice thing. Hey, we're doing a big photo big ad campaign. We need a bunch of new people. Who wants to do it? Anybody want to do it? And I said, you know what? Yeah, I'll do it. Just strictly to talk about it on the show, just for the experience, just to say, okay. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
And they said, okay, great. Send a picture. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, the jig is up now. They're going to be like, oh, no, I'm sorry.
But the leg up you have is that you actually know how to take a decent picture. So you're not sending them like, you know, a selfie off of your iPod.
Right. But I did. I also didn't want to do that. I wanted to have something relatively recent.
Yeah.
And so that there was no surprises. So like I sent him one of like when I'm just at the tail end of 6 months of swimming every day and be like, hey, here I am, and then I show up and they're like, oh no, that's not you.
Yeah.
I got catfished. Hey, everybody. So I want to do something relatively recent that would represent how I look now. So I actually sent one of you that you took of me at my sister's wedding.
Okay.
Just a snapshot, like nothing lit or nothing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
And
wow,
and,
come on.
No, it wasn't lit. It wasn't lit. It was well done. It was a nice photo. I wasn't
no,
ripping
I
you.
No, I didn't hear you say lit. I said nothing. I thought you said nothing good or anything.
No. Just a snapshot. It was good. I said it was good.
Yeah, okay.
Obviously, I got the job, you know.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, sure. And so I said, oh, wow, okay, great. So I went in there and I did not know what to expect. It was a big photo studio in Stuttgart. Drove into the city and they had assistants. I sat down in the makeup chair. I had to bring a whole bunch of different wardrobe and stuff like that. And
you had to actually bring your own wardrobe.
Yeah, That's the thing. Okay. They brought my own wardrobe, but they had a whole lighting setup. He was doing black backgrounds and white backgrounds, but he had like a huge tunnel kind of built, and a big deal was a phase one camera, like a medium format digital camera.
Okay.
I was so many lights and whatnot. I was like, I really couldn't. I wanted to pay attention to the lighting, but it's like, wow, there's just a lot going on here to achieve this. And sat down and makeup and hair and then jumped in there and bam, 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 knocked it out like in 15 minutes, done.
Okay.
And so the guy said, oh wow, you know, you're really good at this. You should do this all the time. Which I figured, okay, I was very, very, he said it's very, very fast. You're the fastest one we've had.
Okay.
Which I took to mean either I'm really, really good at this or just horrible. And they're like, we're not wasting another second on this. Like, there's nothing, like, I'm looking at this guy, and you know what? We could take 100 more pictures. We're not going to get anything.
Yeah.
Let's just send him home. Let's not waste our time and his. Get out of here.
Yeah.
That's how I'm taking it. So we'll see if I make it into the campaign or not. That's how I'll know.
So is this going to show up in like a magazine or?
I don't know.
You have no idea where it's going to go.
No, I don't ask questions.
But your wife might somewhere be able to find out from her friend if you make it into the brochure or catalog or whatever it is going to be used for.
Nobody cares.
Oh, well, we want to see. Your
well,
fans want to see.
I include the picture. They sent me one of the pictures.
Oh, okay. So there we go.
So that's
where,
the one.
Where's this?
With the suit. The black suit with the white shirt, no collar.
Okay, well, give me a second. I didn't know you were jumping into where I was going to have to actually find something on my computer.
Yeah.
Hold up there, busy pants. Okay, yeah. So what's this titled?
TFG.
Okay, TFG. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, you're looking to the heavens.
I guess I'm looking up to the light that they're selling. I don't know. I did what I was told.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is what, like, if it goes in, this is what they're going with.
No, I don't know. They just sent me a few photos. I just happened to pick one.
It's a cool lighting setup, but I'm not sure that I'm buying what they're selling on this alone.
Well, hopefully they're selling things that allow you to look up my nose. Because we get a good shot of that. They have some of me looking off the other angle too, so I don't know. I don't know what they're gonna pick. I just grabbed one.
Yeah.
I did like the lighting was pretty cool, and I liked
it. Lighting's very cool.
The way it kind of hits the jacket, and the jacket fades into the background, and
yeah, like
there's no tricks here. That was just kind of out of camera.
Yeah, no, that's I agree. I like the lighting a lot, and I like the black on black hack. It actually works quite well here, especially because the white shirt. If it's a darker shirt, it doesn't work at all. But the white shirt really kind of brings it out from the background.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
and
nice.
But no, they're great guys, and we talked a little bit after, and I told them about our show, and something maybe they're listening. I don't know. And
maybe.
One of the guys actually listens to Chris Marquardt's show all the time, so.
Goodness. So you're like a celebrity then. You're a model and a celebrity.
Well,
you were just on that show.
I was just on that show. I told him, I said, yeah, I was on last week, and he couldn't believe it. I thought, wow, what a small world. And I said, yeah, I suppose. But no, there was more to my story about. Oh, yeah, the one part, I wanted to be a nice guy. I didn't want to be a jerk, right? Like, I don't think I was being a jerk, but, after we were done taking the pictures, they were shooting tethered. So there was the guy running the camera, and then right next to him was the guy. The guy had an awesome setup. Like, it wasn't even a tripod he was on. It was a giant, like, custom metal mount that he had made. Like, a giant metal pole with an arm that comes out that holds the camera, and an arm the other direction, like at a 180, that basically holds the computer. And so he's just shooting tethered, and there's a guy looking there, looking at the pictures as they come up, proofing them, going, okay, yeah, we got it. That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when we were done, the guy said, oh, hey, do you want to see them? And I didn't. I didn't want to be a jerk and go, no, forget it. But I was just like, I wanted to go in. I didn't tell him I was a photographer ahead of time. I just wanted to go in and just experience what it was like on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of feel like, hopefully learn some things about how to be a better photographer, evidently. So I didn't tell them anything about that. And then afterwards, I kind of just wanted to, you know, end the experience there.
Right.
But then I had a quick look just to make them happy.
Right.
Yeah. Don't want to be a jerk first time out. You want to get hired back.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. On the way out the door, the guy was like, yeah, yeah, we'll keep you in mind. And, hey, mix in the occasional salad.
So now you can put on your business card, Al Attridge, male model.
I mean, no, it's already on there. Now it's true.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Did that.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And then before we get into did you shoot anything interesting, which we will.
Okay.
I read something today online about your favorite company, Yong Nuo.
Okay.
And they're building something. They built something else, some sort of an LED light stick or something. Like nothing I care about.
Okay.
But they've basically taken what they do is they take an existing product and then knock it off and make it cheaply.
Mm-hmm.
But still make it quality, but mm-hmm. knock it off. Is this cool?
I'm okay with it.
Okay. Because I thought about it. I hadn't thought about it. I mean, I hadn't bothered to think about it until today. And I'm not super cool with it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why not? That exists and that's called, I believe the term is capitalism.
No, it's not. That's not capitalism at all.
I knew you'd have issue with
yeah.
that.
No. I mean, obviously, it's to do with the laws in China. It's difficult for the American, and whatever. I don't want to get into the diplomacy of it, but it's a situation of like, and the other day, this is kind of what made me sort of make the connection, is that we have a little village. We have a library, which. It's just basically everybody knows who you are. See, there's no library cards.
Okay.
But my wife wanted our kids to have a library card, and my wife's a teacher, so she has a laminator. And so she said to me one day, hey, maybe you could make the kids library cards. So I said, yeah, sure. But from scratch, like they don't exist. I just have to make something up. Well, it took me to make two cards. It took me an hour and a half. Now, if I were to make a third card, it would take me between 2 and 3 minutes.
Right.
Because I've already done the legwork. I've already gone ahead and figured out how the card's going to look, which even if you do something simple, it does still take time to get things right. Right? Pick the font, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So companies go and do this, and they go and spend the money on research and development and spend a lot of money on that, and then, probably gouge you a little bit on the product.
Mm-hmm.
And then Yong Nuo comes in, reverse engineers it, and knocks it off, and doesn't have to pay for the R&D. So that's where their margins are.
Yeah, but that's everybody in every business. That's golf clubs. That's pharmaceuticals. That's everything. And
but eventually,
But here's the thing. Just let me say the other side for a second. The company that originally comes up with it, they gouge you usually for a good couple years before, the next company comes on and knocks it off and has a product. So they've already achieved and probably well surpassed their financial R&D costs plus profit margins that are off the chart before Yong Nuo or insert whatever company is knocking it off comes along to make it more affordable for the consumer.
But I would suggest that in this, like these days, in 2016, that window is closing quickly.
I think there's legalities around that window, though. Well, there certainly are. There certainly is in things like pharmaceuticals. Like your
pharmaceuticals
patent
holds
up for X amount of years. I don't know what it is in pharmaceuticals, but let's say it's 2 years or whatever before a company can go and reverse engineer it.
But okay, on that note, and I'll just come out and say it. If I'm in need of pharmaceuticals, I'm going to be hesitant to buy knockoffs from China. No?
Okay. But why is it any different? You're buying, like, if you buy...
No. Because I'm not going to ingest my flash.
Right.
But so, I mean, if I have to take whatever it is, if I have to take, cancer pill or something, I'm probably not, I could be wrong. Maybe I'm xenophobic. I don't know. But are you willing to just say, yeah, I'll roll the dice on knockoffs from China? Yes or no?
Well, I don't know that how that works with pharmaceuticals. I don't actually know where the knockoffs come from. But when if I'm getting like the prescription nasal spray, I take one allergy medicine, you know, usually for a month or so when allergy season kicks in, and they say, originally, I could only buy the name brand. And then after a couple of years, I could buy the knockoff. And they say, which do you want? I always take the no-name brand because as far as the chemistry goes, they are identical.
But, that's something I've checked it out.
So I don't care where it's made. It's chemistry. It's like you only put the right ingredients in, right?
Right, but that is something that is regulated. I don't, that's a regulated thing. You know, you can't just go in Canada. I mean, you're not talking about going down to some alley in Chinatown and buying it off a guy.
No.
And next thing you get home and you're like, wow, don't get the gremlin wet, right? You don't do that. You buy it from a reputable place. Now I understand with photography stuff, it is kind of a gray area because you can buy the Young Nuo from Amazon or B&H or whatever. So those are reputable. But I'm going to suggest that the quality control in terms of, you know, going to poison you or not is probably not as strong because no one's going to eat their flash.
Right. But here's when you're talking about the flashes, okay, so what percentage of the world's flashes are made in the US versus in Japan? And are the quality of the flashes that are made in Japan far superior to the ones that are made in China?
Depends who you ask. If you ask me, I say no. But it's usually if you buy a Canon flash that's made in China, it's usually made by a Japanese company overseeing it. It's not, again, right. It's not made in the street. Now, Young Nuo is probably a reputable company. That's great. What I'm saying is there's no need for regulation because what's the worst that's going to happen? Like nothing. Like your house isn't going to catch on fire. So I think it's we're obviously not going to waste our time trying to get involved, you know, limiting Young Nuo. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
Whereas in Canada, there is that window, like 2 or 3 year window that a patent expires on a pharmaceutical, which I'm all for. I understand the reasoning behind that.
Here's the thing too, and I mean it kind of goes for any company, you know, whether they make flashes or whether they make batteries. You can have a company that, you know, basically is in China and it's selling things for a quarter or a tenth of the cost of the name brand. But if the product itself isn't good and lots of people aren't buying it and reporting that it's good quality, it's not going to hang around. And I think that's the thing about Young Nuo is, you know, ask anybody that owns a Young Nuo anything if they're happy with their purchase.
No question.
You won't find that about other, you know, basically small, tiny little companies that are knocking stuff off because the products suck. Mm-hmm. They're doing something that other companies aren't, which is making quality at a quarter or a fifth of the price of the big brand. So if that's the case, they're obviously doing something right in the quality control department, and how regulated it is, I have no idea. But like I say, that everything that I own that's been Young Nuo, and I've tried a few products now, has been really, really good. And like I say, all you got to do is do a review search on anything Young Nuo, and good luck finding more negative reviews than positive on it.
That's actually going to work. That works to my point because I'm going to suggest as that window closes with no regulation on patent or whatever. I'm assuming there's no regulation. That window between, you know, introduction and knockoff closes, and Young Nuo is able to produce it with quality. Now all of a sudden, the companies that do the R&D are just going to say, "Look, we can't innovate anymore because we lose money."
But there has to be the patent laws on their technology, and so, you know, if Canon's not making it up, that's the only way I can see that they can't sue Young Nuo for patent infringement. I don't think they are. I think they're charging more because they have a name brand like Sony was for TVs forever, right? But now that everybody else basically has the same technology that Sony does when it comes to LCD TVs, the prices have had to come down because they can't compete if they don't, you know, if they don't put their prices in the same ballpark. Mm-hmm. So I think give me a break about technology. You don't think there's a patent on everything?
So, yeah, but is it enforceable, like, you know, across borders, though? That's the issue.
Yeah, and that much I don't know. But if they're selling, like Yang Nuo set up shop as a Yang Nuo Canada site, it has to be. If you're setting up shop as Yang Nuo USA, Yang Nuo Canada, now it's a different story. It's not just Yang Nuo China that's basically, you know, shipping everything from overseas and selling it out of a Chinese distribution center. No, they're now, you know, popping up as places and sales and stationed out of Canada, the U.S. So then I think that the regulations would carry over.
Okay,
that's my guess. That's just, someone can do the research on this, but I think that it's no different than any other technology. I just think the reality of it is whatever patents they had on their technology have long expired, and they better come up with something new if they don't want Yang Nuo to take some of their business.
Okay, if Dennis Weidman falls through next week, we'll have Jeff Yang Nuo on. And he'll explain this.
That's an update from Sam.
Yep.
He just scribbled something else on the wall.
What's that? Yeah. Oh, and actually, we'll get Bob Westcott on the phone too, and he'll go ahead and.
But
do
it's
that,
an interesting. So, it's an interesting debate, and both of us have really no clue of what the rules are. So maybe somebody that does know something about this can send us an email.
Send it to Adam.
Yeah.
And he can read it to me.
Or send it to Al, Attention Adam.
Wait, what? All right. I shot nothing interesting this week. You?
I shot some more playground stuff.
Oh, I saw those. Real quick.
I posted them. Yeah.
Facebook,
if you want to check them out, it was zip lining.
There's check a little them out.
Zip line photos from the park the other day. We went and there was almost nobody there, which is my favorite when you can kind of shoot without a zillion. Well, when you can shoot without a zillion people popping up in your background wearing brightly colored jackets and creating all kinds of distraction from the shot that you want to have. And again, it's not the typical playground that we're doing. This is kind of the best, you know, West Coast playground that I've ever seen in terms of the surroundings that you get. And so when it was a bit cool, it was overcast, and I thought, oh my god, this is the nature softbox situation. I need nothing more than my 70-200 and my 5D Classic, and I'm gonna get some great stuff. And so I didn't shoot for very long, maybe I don't know, 10-15 minutes, and just took a few runs as the kids were doing the zip line. And a couple of times I would zing them along the slip line. You kind of run, and then you kind of, like, you know, there's a rope on the bottom of the little seat that they're on, and you basically throw them, and then they zip along down this long zip line, and then it hits the end and they go up in the air. And so I would basically run. They like it when you go real fast, and you basically zip them along, and then I stop, take the photo as they kind of are zipping down, and you get a good action shot. You get great expressions when they hit the end and the thing goes way up into the air like a swing. So I did that and posted a few on Facebook. I could have posted 15 good photos, but I decided that whatever I put, 6 or 7 was enough, just because it gets redundant.
We were there. I mean, we've been there a few times with you, a few of the times, and generally it's in the summertime when we're in Vancouver. And A, it's crowded, like you mentioned. B, it is nice and sunny, but it's harsh, ugly light. And so when I saw your photos, I thought, oh, what a great time to be shooting there.
Yes, yeah, it was perfect. I had no intention of bringing my camera at the time we were going, and then I just, as we were going outside, I looked outside, and it was like cloudy, but you could really see the sun trying to kind of basically push through. You could tell where it was the perfect softbox. And I said, okay, kids, I'm running back in to get the camera. And they were like, oh, really? And then, yeah, they had fun. Once they're having fun, they kind of forget. And the beauty of it is that zip line, like you said, in the summertime, you might wait, you know, 10 minutes for your turn each time because there's such a long lineup of kids. There was zero waiting time. So it was just Jack, you go, Sarah, you go, Jack, you go, Sarah, you go. So in the span, like you say, of 5 or 10 minutes, I was done taking photos.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was fun.
On our end, the snow disappeared, so the camera went back in the bag.
So, gotcha, yeah.
Photo challenge was cookies or gobo. It's also called gobos, right? Is there a difference? I mean, technically, probably not. Probably is, but in my life, I don't distinguish between a cookie and a gobo.
I think it's the same thing.
Relative. I think a cookie's short for Cucullorus, and there's like a whole different, maybe it's a certain pattern. Again, if you do know the difference, don't email me. I don't really care.
Okay.
We're gonna move on with that. So, I had planned on shooting a nice natural occurring a cookie slash gobo situation. That was when I issued the challenge. I thought, oh, it's been great. It's been glorious. I'll go get a natural one. And then nature did not play ball with me.
Okay.
We had decent enough weather and everything like that, but never at the right time of the day when my kids were around or whatever. And so I had to go and light one.
Okay.
So with that, let's have a look at my list. There's a lot of pictures of me, a lot of pictures of you and me this week.
Far too many.
Yeah. It's really, really too much selfie stuff. But so here's mine in the one in the white T-shirt. That's the challenge.
Okay,
there you go.
Gotcha. With your racing hat.
Yeah.
To the racetrack.
Yeah. Well, that was the plan was my son and I were both going to dress in the exact same outfit. He's got a very similar hat. We're going to get everything dialed in. So I got him all dialed in, and then he refused to be in the photo. So it's going to be, okay, you know, father and son in their hats was going to be the theme here. And now it's just guy in a hat.
Yeah. Who's leaned forward and maybe flexing slightly.
Interesting you say that. No. But look at, you know, my wife pointed out, and I noticed after too, you know, that look at the difference in arms.
Oh, yeah. It's funny. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a function of my left arm is turned, you know.
Yeah. It's closer to the camera.
Well, it's closer to the camera, and it's a wide angle lens, but it's also turned one way. And my right arm, you're seeing it like from the profile from the top. Yeah. And so it's not, my arms aren't thick that way. And so it looks really kind of funny.
It's Popeye arm and baby arm.
Yeah. 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 I assure you, as you can see in the, like I posted my other one was my first try. This was my second try at the photo because I didn't like my first one.
And your arms are more proportionate.
Yeah, I do. In real life, my arms are normal. But okay. Anyway, so back to my challenge photo.
How'd you do this? Tell no, I like it. It's a good photo. I'm interested in how you did the lighting. What was the gobo or cookie for this?
The stairs. That's 100% stairs. That's like we have. That's just our stairwell in our house is open like that.
Okay.
So the good news is, if you drop something, it goes all the way down to the basement. That's the positive.
Okay.
But I knew that if I put a flash. Here I am. This is basically the ground floor of the house. And there's an upstairs and a downstairs from here. So I went and put a flash down, camera right, and down the stairs on halfway down.
Yeah, you can see it just kind of brighter by your left butt cheek.
Correct. Which is much larger than my right butt cheek. But in real life it is. Yeah. Here I photoshopped it, but in real life. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm Kim Kardashian on the one side. And then Kate Moss on the other. It's odd. Yeah. There's a hard. These are all hard lights, obviously. And so we got a flash downstairs shooting up. And then I wanted to. That did not light me at all. As you can see, my feet are just kind of fall off into nothing.
Yeah.
And so I kind of wanted to have some sort of a shaped light on my face. And so just camera left, just out of frame, I have another hard light with a snoot on it. Basically firing directly into my face. I didn't want it to interrupt any of the shadows that we're seeing on the wall.
Mm-hmm. So it's wall. Angled enough that it doesn't. You don't see any of that shadow in behind you.
You see a tiny little.
Oh, I guess a tiny. Yeah, I see your head. Yeah. Like, now that you pointed, I didn't notice it before, but yeah, there's a little shadow there.
Yeah, that I wasn't so much concerned about, but I knew if I didn't put a snoot on it, the light was going to go everywhere and basically take all the cool, you know, black lines I've created and just fill them in and turn them in and just, you know, negate them.
So it's just two lights, a hard light kind of down and below you, and then a hard light to camera up and left.
Actually, three lights.
Okay, where's the third one?
Third one is on the upstairs floor, on the top of the stairs, right above me, kind of shooting down and creating in the top right-hand part of the photo, you see those two, like the couple slashes of light. That was just empty. If I didn't include the third light, if I just used the first two lights I mentioned, that was just a dead spot on the wall.
Okay.
And so in order to fill that in, I put a flash upstairs shooting through the railing and just hucking that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
which is a little softer than the other ones. Yeah.
And I couldn't get that light far enough back to create those hard edges. And so that's why it's a little bit different. But I just kind of wanted to fill in that part because we have the dead spot on the left side, which is my shadow.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want the right side to be dead as well, and so
gotcha. Yeah. Well, it looks perfectly fine with that light in. I agree. It probably would be better with it versus without it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's my cookies, and you can see the first shot I did. Only the two lights. I managed to have the lights. You can see different patterns on the walls. So this was done with two lights, one downstairs and one on the main floor. But because it was actually lighting my face okay, so I didn't need a third light. And so I snapped this and then looked at it and thought, after I'd already kind of, taken everything down, I've already broken everything down and put it away, and thought, why is this guy just so sad? What is he mopey about? He's trying to be cool. Is he upset that his arms are normal? I don't know. What's his issue? I just didn't like it. So I will share it and show you why I did not like this photo.
Okay.
Besides the fact that had my son played ball, this would be a photo of him instead of me anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Three shots of me this week. Everybody wins.
Yeah. Wow. What
all right.
Are you?
Now let's see your photo. Hey, it's you.
Yeah, it's me. I did a lot less setup than you did.
Mm-hmm.
As in zero, I walked in last night. I had no photo. I was coming home from work, and actually I was coming home from the gym.
Obviously.
From work. And then I walked in. I saw the sun's really low. It's coming through the blinds in my kitchen. And I was like, again, my first thought was, wow, I can do this without having to set anything up tonight before I go to bed. And so I was like, I'm doing this. I nobody's at home at this point. I'm running around getting my camera because literally I'm thinking the sun's really low. I'm thinking I have 5 minutes maybe to get this done before that sun dips and changes angles and is completely off the wall and in a spot in my house where I can't use it as a cookie. So I'm scrambling around. I ran to get my tripod and then I get the 6D for this and set it up. The only spot it's hitting, which is I can use, is kind of a blue wall where normally there's a picture up there. So I took the picture down and I'm jammed in a really tight spot. So the tripod's just in front of my fridge, and then I'm kind of leaned over on the deep freeze trying to get the spot where there's no light switches. I'm basically looking at, I don't want to do any post-production here. Mm-hmm. I want no pictures. I want nothing hanging there. And this is a very busy spot of my house, but I like the light, the natural light. And I wanted to kind of do something where you could see lighting wise what I did. So I thought, okay, I'm going to get on my aviator sunglasses because they're very reflective. And then if I'm lucky, we'll be able to see what exactly is going on from a lighting situation. So that's all I did. I threw those glasses on. I kind of hunched down low so I could get the bare spot on the wall and snapped the photo. I think I took three and basically I liked this one the best. And then I lost the light like I had anticipated. Mm-hmm. And so it was game over. But you can see in the sunglasses the sun, the lens flare of the sun coming through my blinds. If you look close enough, if you want, you can see my entire kitchen between the left and the right sunglasses. So that's it. That's all it was. My kids asked me why I didn't smile, and I said because I was too busy trying to set this up to worry about smiling. I think that it's a better photo not smiling because it would look very silly if I was smiling in this photo, I think.
Versus super cool.
Yeah. I wish I had someone else, like my kid or something, to pose for this photo, because I think there might be a good photo in here, but unfortunately I was the only one at home and I had a few minutes to do this. So I like the lighting. I don't like the face so much. Yeah.
I like the lighting as well. And, the way it basically you have the blinds on the one side of the wall of your head and then not on your right side.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea how to explain that in actual a word picture, but the way it kind of cuts off halfway looks really cool. I kind of like that.
And the bottom and the big light that you see on my camera right sunglass, so my left eye, is the bottom of the brim of my hat, which I had to look close and figure out what the heck is that design up in the top. But that's just the bottom of the brim of the hat, which actually, if you look at the other eye, it's dark on that side, so it cuts across the top of the part of my sunglass on one side, dark, and then it's bright on the other side, which I kind of like too, mm-hmm. but I couldn't figure out what the heck that was until I looked very closely.
Nice.
But I just like the slashes of light coming across the face. I think sometimes when you're doing this without sunglasses and in eyes, if the light doesn't fall exactly in the right spot in the eyes, it's pretty off-putting. Mm-hmm. But with sunglasses, you kind of get rid of that. So I like the way it comes across in the mouth and across the nose, and then you get the cool effect in the sunglasses, and you get some neat lines on the wall. And so it's kind of just, again, a cool-looking background and a cool-looking light on your subject that if it's available, if it's there, grab it. That's the takeaway here.
In most, in the lighting kit like that, like say they're shooting a movie or something like that in the truck, they usually have Venetian blinds that you can put up on a C-stand that'll just be thrown in front of a light,
yeah.
Just to kind of create this look on the back wall or whatever it is. This is very like Venetian blinds are fantastic for this, the horizontal ones,
yeah.
Which I think, I don't know if that means Venetian or not, but. They're not popular here. The Venetian blinds are very, very hard to find. I want them for my office, can't find them. But they are fantastic for this effect. And so the fact that you have them, I mean, and for you on this floor, you could, if you wanted to, put a flash outside and recreate something like this.
Yeah, I've done it. I did a photo challenge way back with my sister-in-law. I can't remember what the film noir or something was the mm-hmm. challenge, and I did exactly that. I put the Alien Bee outside and I shot it through the blinds, and then I basically did a photo of her that way. And I was thinking that I was going to have to do something like that for this tonight or for this photo challenge, but fortunately for me and my laziness, I walked into a situation where I had to just be really quick, and I managed to grab a natural version of that.
That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out for me. Oh, darn.
But you can see in the reflection of the sunglasses how low the sun is. Like, it's,
yes.
This was literally just the right time to grab it. So the laziness god smiled on me today or yesterday.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. I'm super happy about stuff like that.
Way too.
Because then
happy.
I see your photo and I'm like, wow, you did a lot of work.
Oh yeah, and this was the worst part is I'll come out and freely admit this. This was my second setup. I don't mean like I shot the first one and didn't like it and shot another one. I shot a whole different thing with using the blinds in our house, the different kind of blinds.
Yeah.
And I shot and shot and shot for like an hour and a half and just got absolutely nothing from it. Like, they're just terrible. I couldn't make anything work. And basically, I just took an hour and a half of my life and flushed it down the toilet.
I'm exhausted just thinking about that.
Yeah. I didn't even get any, all right, well, at least I got this takeaway. No, the takeaway is don't do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I've done it. I've been guilty of it many times. Definitely not this week, though.
Yeah, you win this week strictly on that alone. Also, newer hat.
Yeah.
All right. This week's topic is hard light.
Okay.
These photos could not have been possible without hard light, and because your photo challenge last week, what was mine last week?
It was wall. Daughter up against the. Well, it wasn't wall, but it was
background.
Yeah, flat background.
The shallow background, and you chose to use hard light, which is not the normal instinct. And I said, you know what? I don't think we've ever actually addressed hard light as a topic. So here it is.
Oh, just as a side note, I just read the email that you sent me this morning. It says, we will discuss hard light today. Be ready. ... So I guess now I'm ready.
Yeah. I suppose you see the irony in that.
That was a peek behind the curtain. Be ready, ... I don't know. Should I be thumbing through my encyclopedias or something?
Just stretch out your quads.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't want to pull something.
Okay.
What is hard light?
Not soft light.
You can't just say the opposite. That's not how you explain it. Yeah. What is baseball? Well, it's not soccer. That's true. That is a fact. Write it down.
It's I don't even know how to explain it. Like, obviously,
it took me a while.
A flash when it doesn't have anything on it, but there's other kinds of hard light, right? It's not just a flash that's not diffused.
You just shot without a flash, and you shot hard light. So it's not.
So would that be considered? But that would be considered hard light. Like direct sunlight is considered hard light.
Oh, no question.
Okay, so it's direct sunlight. It's flash without a diffusion.
Mm-hmm.
What else is it?
I don't know. It's not soft light. That's your best answer so far. To be fair, that's why I sent you an email. An hour before we started.
Be ready. I'm not ready.
It's 30 minutes prior. I sat with at the blank page. I was trying to define what hard light is. I can't. But I eventually
did a better job than I did.
Well, we'll see.
Okay.
For me, it means strong, sharp, and directional.
Okay.
So soft light is very scattered, and kind of soft light essentially provides its own fill, so that
it's dispersed.
Right, dispersed. Oh, good. You are ready.
Dispersed light.
But hard light is sharp and directional, and it doesn't fill in. So, for example. The difference being, hard light is hard, hard sunshine versus like an overcast day. So what you shot for your photo challenge versus what you shot at the playground. That's hard light versus soft light.
Correct.
Right? But we think about hard light and we think, ooh, that's bad. Hard light's bad. Because we're trained that way because oftentimes hard light to us means harsh light.
Right.
It doesn't have to.
Less forgiving.
What is, that's the nature of hard light, but I mean there are ways to harness that power and ways to mess it up and more
sometimes
often,
you want it though. Sometimes you want that hard light.
Oh yeah, that's why we're talking about it.
Helps to find my six pack.
You only have a six pack?
It's our eight pack.
Well, I have a seven. On the one side it's good, the other side just kind of falls off. Yeah. Again, it's all, I have a thing, but we call it asymmetry, okay?
Right, okay.
All right, moving on. You're right, so sometimes we want to use a hard light, and we want to be able to harness that and use it for good. That's what we want to do, but most times, I mean, if you get it wrong, you get it wrong.
Right.
Whereas with soft light, yeah, if you get it in the ballpark, you're fine. You're not going to get burned by it. So we tend to always strive for soft light. That's kind of the goal. We always like window light, or we like this, or we're going to put the softbox on or whatever. Why do you think that is? Besides what I just said about the harsh light, is there a reason that we just shy away from hard light?
Because we're scared that we might get it wrong.
Before we even know what we're doing, what are the most of the photos that you took 5 years ago before we started the show? You just took with like a point and shoot camera,
right?
With the little tiny little flash directly on axis with the lens,
right?
How'd that work out for you?
Not good.
Never good.
Yeah.
You never look at those flash photos and go, oh wow, that's going on the wall, obviously.
Yeah,
I don't mean my wall. I mean the Louvre. Like that's where it's going to go.
Right.
It looks terrible, and that's our experience with hard light. And so when we start to get into taking good photos, we think, all right, let's soften that light up, or go soft light, soft light, soft light. In fact, when I do it, and when you're taking someone's picture, someone comes over for a portrait, your first instinct is get the softbox out.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's mine, and I'm going to continue doing that. Because most people I photograph are horribly ugly. And they need the soft. Like, well, that's not true. Like, half of them are. But I don't tell them which half. Okay? So we're used to that hard light on axis, on the camera. But what about hard light off the camera? That's what we want to talk about. Because once you get it off the camera and you can control it, or even if it's, like the sun is off your camera, obviously, but if you have other options and you can control it, all of a sudden you open up a whole bunch of possibilities for awesome lighting.
Okay.
So why should we use hard? Like, what are some of the properties of the results of using hard light?
It gives you sharp edges.
Sharp. I wrote that down. Sharp. It is very sharp, and hard, controllable edges is what is a good way to put it.
Okay.
Like you're talking about from like in the shadows, the light in the shadows.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, if you're looking at a magazine of a six pack model, like a fitness person.
Okay.
It's largely shot with hard light. You can tell they use mm-hmm. the lighting to basically create those hard edges to bring up the definition in muscles, for example.
That's actually a different little note that I wrote down. It is sharp and defining. If you want to like you said, if you want to define a person, you go with the hard light. Now, if
so, someone with a strong jaw, for example,
yes,
you might
or even hard light. Even if you don't have a strong jaw, if you have a weak jaw, now is a good time to use hard light if you can do it properly to create that strong jaw. Not easy to do,
right?
But you can do it. So yeah, it's unfortunately if it's somebody who's not a fitness model, you're going to define that. Like you're not going to hide anything. It's not the hard light is definitely not the February sweater of life.
Right.
Right. So you're going to want to, use it well. Hard light also generally gives us high contrast.
Right. Whereas you get those dark shadows, yeah.
Right. Soft light's going to soften that right up. Hard light, oftentimes, not always, but mostly, is going to be sort of dramatic and, it's going to set a mood.
Definitely more moody.
Definitely more moody. These are all good things, though. Maybe you want it. It can be happy. It doesn't have to be, just mopey, but like my photos, evidently.
But sometimes, I mean, you've probably seen a lot of these photos. If you look up some portraiture, black and white portraiture that is shot of older people. So, and I'm thinking elderly older.
Right.
So we're talking like, 80 plus. The sharp contrast with, the wrinkles and the faces, sometimes it's just super powerful if done well. Like you've probably seen many of these photos, right? They're great black and white photos of older people. And right away you're like, wow. And sometimes you want to bring up the wrinkles. We often think about softening those and making everybody look a few years younger. But sometimes mm-hmm. it's just far more interesting to actually, define that. And the hard light used well really does that.
That's a great, great example of when to use hard light. It's also great if you want to create shafts of light in your image. It's much easier to control hard light than it is soft light because just spraying everywhere, you can't really you can't really shape it how you want it. Hard light, however, you're good to go. Let's say you want to shoot with a cookie or a gobo. Soft light's not going to help you, is it?
Right. Exactly.
So you need that.
You wouldn't stick your giant softbox outside of your window and shoot it through the blinds.
Not again. Yeah. Yeah, fool me once, okay? And the other thing is, and this could be just me. I don't know. This is probably widespread. I happen to love hard lighting when paired with black and white.
Agreed.
Doesn't mean I don't like a softbox in a black and white, but when I am shooting black and white, I really like that really the high contrast. So
I agree.
So when do we do this? Well, you've already mentioned it. Good looking and old people. That's the only time to use hard light.
Yeah, muscles for sure.
Muscles and age.
If you're trying to define wrinkles, if you're trying to define muscles for sure. Kids are pretty forgiving in terms of their features, and so you can often use hard light for kids because they have smooth skin, and oftentimes you're going to bring out the imperfections with hard light. And so if you have someone who's very good looking or certainly very young and their skin is very nice, then hard light can work really well.
Hard light done incorrectly is very unflattering.
To anybody, though.
Yeah, to pretty much anybody. I mean, if you shoot anybody at noon o'clock, on June 21st, you're going to get a bad photo.
Right.
Like it just doesn't matter. And so, but if you, you know, take someone like yourself and you shoot hard light, you know, with the cool, you know, blinds in the shot at right as the sun is going down, now that's a great time to shoot. You're going to get great results. It is very flattering, and that is hard light. There's no soft light going on there.
Right.
Okay. So, how do we go about using or more likely creating hard light? What makes a light hard? A light source, for example. Like, I mean, I know we talked about the definition of hard light, but if we're going to go and create it, what is the physical thing that makes that light, quote-unquote, hard light?
Probably a smaller light source and further away from your subject.
And even simpler than that, in terms of relative size, small light is hard light from the source. Right. So if you take your flash and put it right out of frame, like just like a really close-up shot, so it's right like, you know, a few centimeters from your subject's face with like just a hard light, it's actually going to photograph relatively soft.
Right.
Simply because relative to your subject, it's actually pretty large.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you backed it across the room and now it's going to come shooting across, it's going to be relatively much, much smaller and thus harder.
Correct.
Which is why the sun, despite it turns out, and I had to Google this, the sun, very large.
Mm-hmm.
But I also had to Google this part too, but I used Bing for some reason. It's really far away. And thus, I don't know if you've ever done this, if you hold your hand up, you can actually squish the sun between your fingers. Did you know that?
Oh, I've done it.
And I yell, I'm squishing your head, until the kids in the hall told me to stop.
Yeah.
So because it's so far away, that's what makes it a hard light source. So let's do it. Let's break down. I made 8 quick notes on how to shoot with hard light.
Okay, let's hear them.
Get the flash. Number one, get the flash off the camera.
Right.
Doesn't do you no good. You absolutely, positively need it off the camera.
Okay.
Two, if you have a relatively new flash, you have a zoom function, go ahead and zoom that flash in.
Okay.
That's what I do. I mean, depends. If you want to have, you know, fill your whole frame, maybe you want to, you know, 24 mil throw, whatever. I tend to zoom in.
But it focuses the light even more. So it goes back to your point of smaller light source.
Correct.
Okay.
Number three, use it bare. No modifiers.
Right.
Okay. As soon as you throw, you know, anything on there in terms of a softbox and an umbrella, you're going to soften that light up. And just by making it relatively larger, that's all you're doing.
Okay.
Okay. And now that's where the light kind of all bounces around. So get that off of there. Okay. Number four is actually, sorry about the no modifier. Actually, go ahead and use a modifier. That's number four.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Use a snoot.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. You know what a snoot is, right?
Yep.
Okay. If you don't, just Google it, really.
Okay.
Yeah. You can make them out of, as a photographer, you should own a roll of duct tape.
And a black foam.
Okay, well, you can do that too. I have a few of these. I just use the old cereal box.
Yep.
Cut it up, use some black duct tape, and you're off the races. And you can make a whole bunch of different cardboard snoots, different lengths, throw some Velcro in it.
Same is true of if you make a trip to the dollar store and pick up a bunch of 8x11 sheets or 8x10, whatever they come in, sheets of black foam, and then cut them to different sizes, throw a piece of Velcro on it, and they're light, they fit in your bag, they're relatively indestructible, and you'll have them forever. I have the same 6 or 7 snoots that I made 3 years ago.
Yeah, no, same. I have. Well, I'm missing one because on a photo shoot I did for one of the challenges actually last summer, I ended up leaving my one of my snoots on a table in the marketplace.
Okay, don't do that.
Just walked away. Yeah, it was. I mean, time wise, it cost me a few minutes to make another one, but only a couple of cents really. So that's the good news about it is you can beat them up and not worry too much about them. They are so great to have. I use a snoot pretty much all the time. When I get more than one light out, I have the snoot on hand. So, because I'm always kind of mixing hard light in with soft light. Even if I'm shooting soft light, there's going to be some hard light somewhere.
Right.
Oftentimes. Anyway, so that definitely go ahead and snoot it. That's a big thing. Now, distance. Like, as we mentioned, number five is the distance from your subject. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the good news is when you move it, when you move your light further back, as far across the room as you can, and still get enough power to light your subject, the light is going to be harder and more defining. There is going to be a minor side effect to that, is that it actually will, I want to word this carefully because if I don't, it can be confusing, but it'll actually help you with your contrast. Because a light that is very, very close, because of the inverse square law,
mm-hmm.
that deals with fall off. If you have it in very close, the unlit side of the face is going to turn to darkness very, very quickly. Whereas across the room, the difference won't be as quick. I mean, the shadows are still going to fall off, but it's going to be a little more even light on your subject.
Okay.
Versus in close. But it's also going to be nice and hard the further back it is. Number six is directly out of the Adam Schwartz playbook from last week.
Okay.
Pay attention to shadows, the angle on the face, the angle of the light coming in as it pertains to your subject's face.
Mm-hmm. Especially the nose.
Yeah, that's a great, the canary in the coal mine, really, is if you pay attention to where that nose shadow falls, the rest of your shadows will, or your lighting will look good on the face, should look good on the face.
Right.
If you're, you know, if the nose, if it's basically straight down, you're probably lighting from overhead, not the most flattering.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to pay attention to that. And the good news is with hard light, you can control it. Now, especially when you're shooting with a flash that you can control versus the sun, you can quickly make adjustments that are going to, you know, affect your image in a positive way.
Okay.
Seven, pay attention to the shadows and use them as composition elements. So know that with hard light, you're going to get shadows unless you fill it with more hard light. But like with the shot of your wife, you have that shadow. Don't just, you know, leave it. Like, all right, well, shadows are part of life. Use it. If you can, use it as part of your framing.
Okay.
Or at least recognize that it's there, and perhaps it's part of your end photo. Make it an intentional decision. Because with soft light, you get no shadows, essentially, for the most part. You don't have that. Now is an opportunity to add to your photo.
Gotcha.
And the last one, and this one is, it's not necessary, but it's really going to help. Use multiple lights if you can. If you have more than one flash, start adding them in, and you can start getting great effects. You get different shadows going every different direction, or you can fill in. Perhaps you want to shoot someone's face. With hard light, now you can actually shoot, you can control the ratio. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe on one side hard at 1/8 power, on the other side at 1/32, both hard lights, but now you're going to have fill.
Mm-hmm.
And so you still have that, you still have that nice directional light without the super high contrast.
Yeah, or sometimes you do the light sandwich that we've talked about in the past, and you shoot both right from the side, and you kind of get that shadowing effect kind of right down the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that looks really cool.
Which is like the fighter pose, kind of, you know, the UFC poster kind of look.
Yes. The other hot move for hard lighting, especially again when you're shooting the fitness model, as we all do, is to put a couple two flashes in behind your subject at 45 degree angles behind them,
mm-hmm.
and shooting hard light kind of semi-backlight.
Right.
From one on each side. And that's a great way to really add definition to your subject.
Okay.
So that's it. Those are the eight tips on how to use hard light. But
great.
The big tip is try it. Don't shy away from it. Get out there and shoot it, because you'll find that as you start to get better at it and become more confident, you'll want to shoot with it more. because it looks really, really good when done well.
Okay.
So, next week's challenge, soft light.
Yeah. No.
Because we're lazy. No, it's hard. Of course it's hard light. It's going to be hard light. That's it. Website.
Right, we'll see what's coming into my kitchen next week. AdamSchwartz.ca.
And my stuff at AlanEtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find all the links, photos, and everything we just talked about. Until next week, Adam.
Yeah.
That's you.
Yeah.
Get out there and make better photos.